Hello, this is Vlad, and you are listening to Olafield's Fantasy Podcast.
All right, Jeff, let's get this going. No more messing around. We got things to do. It's a work week. It's a work day. Jeff's sipping on some iced coffee, probably a little iced cappuccines. I'm not too sure what's going on over there in hot, sunny California. But we're here on the All the Fields Fantasy Podcast, Tuesday edition, right after week one of the NFL season. A myriad of Monday Night Football games on opposite spectrums. One, an absolute shocker, I guess you maybe would call it, and one, just a stunning game that went down to the wire. Fantasy season's in limbo, of course, with those two games. With yours truly, of course, faltering on them, as was foreseen in the diatribe of Will Soisman going up against Mazdoretti, but we'll talk about that later. Jeff, how are you doing on this Overreaction Tuesday?
Will, I'm excited to be here sipping on a hot coffee. Normally I'm a nice coffee guy, but we got a hot coffee on this kind of overcast morning out here in sunny Southern California. Looked real sunny over in Charlotte and up.
Oh, it's
Panthers-Rams game. Looked like it was a little warm, a little humid. But overall, excited to be here. I was going to say, if before week one, the week had a mantra of nobody knows anything about anything, I think that proved out in week one. Now going into week two, I'm dubbing this, are they good? Are they bad? Are they both good? Are they both bad? And we still don't know anything.
Yeah, the no one knows anything thing, we can kind of touch on that a little bit. I was thinking about this. If you looked at just, like, let's say you watched zero football yesterday, or you watched, you know, your favorite team's game, and then this morning you do a little box score reading, and you would just be like, oh yeah, all the teams won they were supposed to, you know, the Chiefs won, the Seahawks won, the Cowboys won, you know, like, you could just go through those things, the Eagles won, and then if you actually watched the games, you'd be like, well, you know, it wasn't so easy for all those teams we just mentioned. I mean, the Rams, I mean, they were only 2 or 3 point favorites, but they were struggling to put the Panthers away as well. All these teams really, really struggled. So you can say, yeah, we, you know, we kind of know who the good teams are, or so we thought. And yeah, did they end up winning? Sure. But it wasn't so easy for most of those teams that ended up winning out yesterday. Very exciting. DraftKings really gonna heat up. I didn't really do any contests. I did win 20 cents on a 10-cent game. You know, it'd be nice if I followed my own advice. You know, if I said, oh, we should start Lamar Jackson, and, you know, I should, probably should have done that. But, of course, I didn't. I don't know why. I just don't take my own advice for other people. But my advice
was... Did you at least start the call of the week, the Chark?
I didn't. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, I didn't either. I didn't either. And then all I saw was a huge bomb to him for, like,
of course. He had, over 100. Jeff, little side note here. I'm starting Scarewinds. I already started a couple days ago for training.
Scarewinds?
Yeah, so I start...
Tell me more about this.
I will. Our full dress rehearsal is tomorrow night, and then my first actual night is Saturday night. It is the Not Scary Farm of over here. It is the same company, actually. Oh. Cedar Fair Company owns the same places. In fact, if I want to, I'll be able to get in for free to Knott's Berry Farm when I come out in October, because I work for the same company. So it's Scarewinds, it's usually called Carowinds, and I am I'm a hillbilly of some sorts. So I still haven't seen my makeup. All I know is the costume I'm wearing. So they told me the makeup's gonna be kind of like dirty and, you know, I don't know, like, it looks like I'm just really dirty. Very excited. Seems really cool. A lot of harder than I thought it was going to be, because I, of course, am not in a maze. I'm in a zone. So I'm just going to be out and about the whole night trying to scare people.
Nice. That sounds... Knee pads, bring any poppers, I don't know, a chainsaw of sorts. I assume they limit the amount of props and they kind of set your character, if you will. But, I mean, look at you, Will, a little thespian, little getting out, you know, mingling, scaring people, just honing those acting chops. I know you're doing it for the pod. You're doing it for the people to get that, just that improv and get that full body kind of, you know, worked out. So when you get in here in the studio, it's a better product for the people. I love it.
I will definitely report back after the first, you know, full night we are open. So after this weekend, I will bring a full report as to how it's going to be. If my voice is gone or not, because they suggest cough drops, and I can totally tell. Definitely going to need to, they call it hydrate for tomorrow.
So, oh, yeah, you got it.
Hydrate Thursday night for Friday, et cetera, et cetera. Jeff, also, big fan of the Borderlands video games. Borderlands 3 comes out this week. Ooh. I'm probably going to have no time for it because I don't have time for any games, but I'm going to do my best to make time for that. Have you ever, you know, it's funny, famously, Jason Bell and Elise, big Borderlands fans. I remember they used to play the first one together years ago. Did you ever dive deep into these games?
I haven't. I've enjoyed the commercials. So I've been intrigued. I was like, ooh, what's this? And Borderlands. And I was like, ah, maybe I'll test it. Maybe I won't. Is it all multiplayer or is it all single player? I forget what Scotty was saying.
You can play by yourself.
He was mentioning.
I've played by myself my whole time. But I do have one friend here in the Charlotte area who is just as obsessed with those games as me. So we might be diving into a little co-op action with Borderlands 3.
Ooh, that sounds fun. I will say Jason and Elise, deep in WoW Classic. They are hitting that hard. Wow. So,
who isn't these days?
Not as hard as Kurt Grover, but I mean, they're in there. Every time I pull up my hearth, I see they're, you know, walking around the frozen tundra. You know, I don't know the names of any of these places.
We don't have time. We don't have time to do the deep dive, so we'll save it for the video game pod, but I do want to get into what the hell is that game anyway? But we'll get a special guest on for that. We'll save it for another time. TV season is coming up, and I have set my DVR to record a bunch of random new shows, and there are some tasty ones coming out on Amazon and Netflix. Have you done any research on possible new shows? Or are you sticking to the old tried and trues for right now?
Well, I'm sticking to the tried and true for now, just because, to your point, I haven't done the research. Maybe this is a segment for next pod. We can get into your little previews. A preview that I have been seeing a lot, Will, is 9-1-1 and just a
huge
tidal wave, literally a massive tsunami. And I was just like, okay, this is happening. And then I was also watching Ballers, and it's been really hard. Just because this episode was all like Melly G was featured, and it's like,
oh no,
here, come to my crib, and it's like this baller place in the hills of LA, and I'm like, yeah, you're probably just sitting there right now watching Austin Eckler get 3 touchdowns, and you're like, man, I should probably just go make $10 million a year.
Maybe he needs more than $10 million to afford that mansion in the hills. That's probably why Ballers. I cannot believe that show is still on. That is insane to me. How many
It's hit a low. It's hit a low.
It's back and bigger than ever. The most dramatic it's ever been. Yeah, you should definitely. So what I did is I just Googled like new shows to look out for. Definitely some tasty ones on Amazon and Netflix coming up. But that's not what you're here for, Jeff.
Oof.
You're here for football. I mean, wow, put it lightly. NFL football, fantasy football, just, you know, the ins and outs, the quicks and not quick stuff that we are here to tell you about. Exciting day. I was following most of it on my phone because I was working. Good times, though. The night games did disappoint, other than Saints and Texans. I mean, Patriots, Steelers, woof. Broncos, Raiders, I didn't watch one snap because I knew it was going to cost me a fantasy matchup, and it did by 0.9 points.
Double
fantastic. Woof. Fantastic. But I guess not, you know, I was going to start off by saying, you know, there wasn't a lot of injuries, but I mean, there were, like, there's some smaller injuries. Another one that kind
of
just came up.
There wasn't a lot of injuries.
I mean, listen.
Tyreek Hill out. Oh, there's guys out.
See, that's what.
Joe Mixon banged up.
Oh, he sucks. So, wow. Nick Foles, again, breaks his clavicle. I mean, the dude breaks his clavicle every 2 years. So, Gardner Minshew, it came the and second. Led the charge. For the Jags, I mean, 22 of like 25 or something, I don't know, against this vaunted Chiefs defense. And I think it was said on ETN, and other stuff I've read is, you know, people think it was against garbage time, but it wasn't. Like, it was the second quarter, I think, when he came in.
Yeah.
So it's not like the Chiefs were just playing prevent defense. And it was, what, 20-7 when he came in? Maybe 17-7. Not sure. Just writing that as a note, no one's really going to pick up that quarterback. I just hope, you know, it doesn't totally ruin the Jaguars and knock them out of playoff contention already. Because that would, I just hate to see teams kind of go out so quickly like that.
And Do you remember who they brought in? They've already signed someone, and I was like, oh no, that's not a good sign for Minshew if this is the guy they're bringing
Josh
in.
Dobbs. They traded for Josh
Dobbs.
Oh
yeah, Josh Dobbs.
Yeah.
A noted favorite of your wife.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, she was like, see ya. I was like, yeah, don't let the door hit you on the way out. Ooh, good segue. On the way out, Dolphins players, reports are that they immediately called their agents yesterday, some of them, yesterday or on Sunday after the game and said, get me out of here, get me a trade, the old Antonio Brown treatment, because they do not want to be embarrassed for this tank job that's going in. And to counter that, how about the players that didn't call their agents? They're like, yeah, okay, whatever, I'll stay.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get to watch it. I've seen some of the highlights, and it's like, you know, maybe we were wrong on Lamar Jackson. Maybe he can't throw the football, or maybe the Dolphins are just that bad. I don't know. It's just a situation to avoid. It's going to be tasty for survivor picks. Yeah. It's never a good sign when the talking heads immediately follow the game. The number one topic of the game, will the Dolphins go 0-16 this year?
That always happens.
It's trotted out.
Yeah. Last year it was like the Jets are gonna be the lowest scoring team in NFL history, and it ended up being like they were fine. You know, it was like okay. Oh, you know, overreactions, that's what that is. But they are bad. I mean, they are really bad.
This week is not going to do any help for the case when the Patriots come to town.
With Antonio Brown.
Yeah, with AB.
I mean, we are not even touching on that, but, you know, everyone knows by now Antonio Brown's all the Patriots. The thing is, though, was this the plan all along? I mean, I don't know if you read the reports that the Patriots originally offered a first-round pick to the Steelers for Antonio Brown, and they said no because they don't want him to go to the Patriots. Well, guess what? He's on the Patriots, and they didn't even trade you to him. So that worked out real well. A little collusion in there.
Yeah, I feel like – I know you didn't watch a single snap of the Raiders-Broncos last night. I was emotionally involved for fantasy reasons. We'll get into that a little bit later. I think Antonio Brown got talked about more than 90% of the people actually playing on the field. And other than maybe like Derek Carr and Derek Waller and, you know, Von Miller, I think other than those people, like, I think Antonio Brown got more pub in that game, and it was just crazy. And if I could actually tangent on that for a second, Will, because something really irked me.
Ooh.
That they gave, like, it was just in my mind, it was, let me know your take on this. I thought it was extremely disrespectful to the Raiders to put their last Monday night home game on the second game of a doubleheader opening weekend where no one, where half the country, more than half the country, is not going to watch because the game doesn't come on until almost 10 o'clock your time. I was just like, really, this is the send off you're going to give the Raiders on Monday night? It's like, yeah, maybe they have another primetime matchup at home, but I don't know. I was just kind of like, really, that's how you're going to do them up in the Bay? But alas.
I mean, listen.
I digress.
At least they got a home playoff game. But I mean, a playoff game, a home Monday Night Football game. Yeah, I know. But this happened last year. I think it was a year. Yeah, it was a year ago. The last game of the year, I think, was on either Thursday Night Football or Monday Night Football, and it was the same thing. It was like they did the broadcasters, granted, Monday Night Football, not the greatest. This is when they had Jason Witten, the touchdown scoring machine. And they didn't even talk about, like, Oakland and maybe this is their last time playing. They just kind of brushed over all that. So they're not, you know, the NFL, the broadcasters, they don't do the Raiders any justice. And interesting to note, like you just said, that all they did was talk about Antonio Brown. But give me the vampire reference, if you can remember on top of your head, because it intrigued me, and I haven't seen it yet.
You know, I don't know if it was her, but I feel like it was a cut to, like, Michelle Tafoya on the sidelines or someone, like a sideline reporter, and she was like, speaking about Antonio Brown, such and such claimed him to be an energy vampire, sucking the energy and life out of the players in the room, and this is how the team is rebounded strong or something like that.
Wow, what a rap.
It was woven in. It was a quote from someone else, refed in. So, I mean, that's what we do in the shadows, bringing by to the forefront of pop culture here.
Someone watching the What We Do in the Shadows. Love it. Let's keep it going here. San Francisco, I mean, man. So before the season even starts, Jerick McKinnon goes back on IR. And then it's all signs are, oh, Tevin Coleman's the guy. Although Matt Breida was kind of lurking, you know, word on the fantasy radar was you should still kind of go after Matt Breida. And lo and behold, Tevin Coleman gets hurt, and Breida is the guy again. I'm really excited. I don't have any of him, but I wish I did. I think ultimately this is going to be kind of like a blessing in disguise for the 49ers.
No, totally. I agree. Glad I picked him up in a couple leagues. Love me some Breida. He does have that injury, so he's always going to be teetering with something, you know, in or out. But he's fun to watch. He's dynamic. Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, that game right there is, are they good? Are they bad? Is that defense actually good? Yeah. Or are they just playing terrible people?
Exactly right. A couple more injuries. We have Darius Geis, who I forgot about, and you mentioned, and Tyreek Hill. So Darius Geis, how about this for karma? Adrian Peterson gets inactive last week, and the coach, Jay Gruden, says, well, yeah, if we need to run the ball 40 times on first and second down, then he'll be playing. Well, guess what? He's going to be playing now. Adrian Peterson, instant karma, going to be playing again. Maybe he's an instant add. Geis was ineffective against the Eagles in his short time before he got hurt. And the elite man himself, Sammy Watkins, already started showing up before Tyreek Hill got hurt. But now Tyreek Hill's gone, and they still haven't even said how long he's – they haven't even said what his real injury is, to be honest. I thought it was a collarbone, but they just said he went to the hospital. Maybe he got, like, a bruised lung or something. Not 100% sure what happened there. It's reckless speculation on that. But Sammy Watkins now, number one guy along with Travis Kelce. I do wonder if this is going to impact Watkins negatively, if he is the only kind of wide receiver on the field, or if he'll go back to his, you know, 2 catches for 20 yards and then 10 catches for 200 yards kind of alternating every week.
Yeah, if I had to make a bet, I would say it would be that. I would say they'll probably get, you know, LeSean McCoy more involved in the passing game. They'll actually, you know, complete passes, looking at Travis Kelce when he's in the end zone for touchdowns. I feel like it'll be the guy to key on. I mean, he is a talent, but without Tyreek Hill, you know, defensives know how to game plan a little bit for him. So it'll be interesting to see what Andy Reid does there. But he was boom or bust, in my opinion. If history has told us anything, his game will be one of these. And then to your point, a 2 for 20. And then he'll get a nagging foot injury. You'll never know when to start him. And I think he'll be frustrating.
All right. The next segment here, Jeff is about to weave some webs. I don't know where he's going with this. So players in fantasy that we are worried or not worried about after just 1 week. We each have our players in fantasy. We each have the players we watched, we saw. We even have one that we have alternate takes on. Oh my goodness gracious. I will start with my first player I'm worried about, and that's Damian Williams. Everyone was kind of on their way about being worried about him when they got LeSean McCoy. And the stats prove that Damian Williams did out-snap LeSean McCoy, but McCoy had 81 yards on 10 carries, and he had a catch for 12 yards. Yes, Damian Williams got the rushing touchdown, but this is the first game of the year, and McCoy is already getting, you know, 11 touches. I'm worried about Damian Williams. I wish we had the draft just 7 days later, and I wouldn't have taken Damian Williams.
Yeah, I think this was always kind of the issue. They were always kind of running backs lurking on the Chiefs. But, I mean, the offense is going to move the ball. He's going to be – as long as he's in getting the majority of the touches, majority of the snaps, which I think he will as the season kind of goes on, McCoy has a lot of yardage on him. So I think, you know, he'll be – he may – you know, that's all you're hoping for. More than 50% of the touches will in that kind of offense. Yeah, maybe you drafted him too high, or you wouldn't draft him at that price if you were drafting today. But he gets the Raiders, and let me tell you, I watched them, and Philip Lindsay, just if it wasn't – the game script wasn't what it was and they didn't get so far behind, I think Philip Lindsay would have had a good day. He was gashing up those Raiders. So I think when Damian Williams gets his chances next week, he should be a good play. But I get what you're saying for longer-term prospects for the season. There's definitely a little bit of worry for Damian Williams.
All right, give me your first one.
My first one, Austin Eckler. I mean, you loved it this week, but going into this, I knew he was going to be splitting carries with Justin Jackson. I just didn't think he was going to get the majority of the carries. And maybe, again, it came down to kind of how the game ebbed and flowed, where they got out and then Colts kind of came back and then they were kind of – They needed to score. They needed to score quick. So Eckler was in there. He was in there for all the big, like, when the game was on the line, he was in there. When they needed something, he was in there. I just don't think he can withstand that touch count, that workload on a week-by-week basis. So obviously the three touchdowns isn't something that's not going to recover. But I personally would like to see it be more like a 60-40 split rather than a 70-30 just for longevity as an Eckler owner. So I'm a little bit worried that if they keep going this, you know, 80-20 split, that he's going to get banged up and then he's not going to be usable.
Interesting take. Baker Mayfield for me, only because, not because of the game, but just, well, let me rephrase it, not because of the score or his interceptions or like that, but because he was getting hit a lot by those Titans. Cameron Wake, just 40-year-old Cameron Wake, just wreaking havoc on this makeshift O-line. And that was a big concern for the Browns. They traded away one of their O-linemen to get, you know, Odell Beckham or Olivier Vernon and those other pieces. Can their offensive line rebound? I do have faith, but I still think people should be concerned. If your quarterback's going to get hit that much, you're not going to be able to sustain any kind of good offense or rhythm. So a little bit worried about Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, to your point, it's about that offensive line, and I think they have that swag, though. You just feel like they're going to figure something out. They're going to get OBJ in positions, you know, shorter. They're going to get Jarvis Landry better involved, you know. They'll get that run game going. They got the talent. It is concerning, though, just how shallow they are at that position, given, you know, all the pieces they have. But I think they'll put it together. I'm not totally worried about Baker Mayfield. I was also never really in on him as like a top five guy. I was more like a top 10 guy on him, which I think he will be. He gets the Jets this week, so I guess we'll get another read on how bad either one of those teams is and how that O-line affects them.
Go on, your next one.
The next one in my worried category, Joe Mixon, for a similar reason. The O-line was hot garbage. He picked up a knock in this game. Gio Bernard seemed to do okay when he was in. It's just, to your point, my thing was always when he's healthy, I don't really care how bad the team is. I think he'll still be okay. And this was one of those where it was just like, maybe I need to take a step back and just be like, how bad or how little are they going to use him? And now he's knocked up, and is that going to linger? And how much, you know, exposure I have to him, not in the ship, but in other leagues, you know, it's worry. It's after week one, I'm a little worried. Well,
we'll see. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I don't think Bernard's a real threat to him or at all. I'd be encouraged with the offense. It's just kind of, you know me, I was never a big fan of him. You were the mixing guy, even though I did take him in one league, and I was thoroughly disappointed. Ooh. Actually, I might have him in two leagues. But he'll be fine, and we'll just see if, you know, it was just game script and all that. But Andy Dalton, I mean, 400 yards. You know, do that again. My God. Eagles running backs. I think you have a little bit of Miles Sanders, right? Am I wrong or right about that?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm worried about them. They were in comeback mode, I understand, because they were down 20-0 or 17-0 at one point. But if you look at the stats I wrote, I mean, Jordan Howard had 6 rushes. Miles Sanders had 11 rushes. Darren Sproles had 9 rushes. I mean, that's just a lot of stuff being spread out. When Sproles is getting 9 rushes, you're just like, what's happening? Like, dude's 38 years old.
Yeah.
Like, it's just crazy that they're just not comfortable with one taking the main load. Well, that's, you know, first week, and maybe it was the game script. But I would be worried. I was never really a big fan of having one of those running backs. So I don't know if that's how it's going to be, or they're just waiting for one to kind of emerge, but I am worried about that running situation.
Yeah. The thing to be hopeful, I guess, is that two things with Sanders. I took him pretty early in the ship, right? He had the same number of snaps as Sproles, and they both outsnapped Howard, which, given the game script, was positive. Mm-hmm. And along those lines, he also was trusted in pass protection, which was something that people had concerns about coming into the season. So it was good to see that he not only was trusted, but performed well in pass protection. And you just hope that, you know, they don't get down 20-0, and quite the opposite, they actually get out to a 20-0 lead, which is more of the game scripts that we would think for a team like this. And then they would, you know, rotate in the Howard Sanders, and it would turn out to be, you know, hopefully like a 40-40-20 split or a 50-40-10 split between those guys, with Sanders being the most talented, hopefully at the end of the day, on an offense that will have ample opportunities to both provide good running opportunities and good scoring opportunities. So I was actually encouraged, Will, as a Sanders owner, because I was worried that Jordan Howard and Sproles would just massively outsnap him, and he would get almost not almost David Montgomery'd, but I'm trying to think of the other. I'm blanking. There was another kind of rookie running back who only got used like one time, and I was like, oh, that's kind of surprising. People were really high on him. It'll come to me. My last one in. No, not Devin Singletary. There was another one. It'll come to me. The last one in my worried column, Christian McCaffrey. He's not awesome, because he was awesome. It was just like the entire offense, both running and passing, runs through him. And I'm just worried that, you know, one, defenses will try and key on that. And can he be contained? That's the key question. Who knows? Because the Rams sure couldn't do anything with him. And he was just taking a pounding. And I just, after how many touches he got last year, you have to think that he can't continue to just see that touch load. Anyone, you know, regardless of size. I mean, it's amazing to see how he bounces off people for how, you know, his frame, but he's amazing. I'm just worried kind of long-term, like, let's spread the ball out. Okay. Let's get our other playmakers involved. Cam, get it together a little bit. Maybe you rush a little bit here and there. Maybe you do something. But Christian McCaffrey, not overreacting and not saying he's going to be amazing. Just want to see that work and that touch count kind of more moderate than what we saw in the first game.
Yeah. Wildcat. They were doing some Wildcat, which is crazy. And I think it's also Cam Newton too, man. Like, can he play the whole season as well? Is that shoulder going to hold up? No, I guess they threw only, I think it was like two balls over a certain amount of yards. Curtis Samuel, not benefiting at all from that, from Cam Newton. And yeah, man, it's kind of, I guess you're kind of going the same with Austin Ekeler, right? You're just not sure how much of a pounding these guys can take. Mike Evans, I mean, not because it's him, but because of his situation. I mean, you can't have a quarterback that's throwing two pick sixes. You can't finish one catch on the day against a 49ers team that maybe, you know, like you said, after 1 week, maybe the 49ers are just going to have a truly great defense. Maybe.
Yeah.
Or just Jameis Winston is going to be done after this year and he'll be finding somewhere else to play. So I am a little bit worried about Mike Evans. He should get way more than what he got. Hopefully they play on Thursday night against the Panthers. So we'll see if Jameis can start throwing the ball to the right team. Jeff, let's move to the not worried section. Go ahead.
That was my favorite fantasy player who was hyped, and I think we were both against, just to see, just brought a little smirk to our faces. I was just like, you guys were honestly hyping Jameis Winston as a top five quarterback. You realize he's a turnover machine. And then going up against San Francisco, and they already surpassed their total turnover count for last year in one game against Jameis.
He had.
So congrats to everyone who drafted him.
Did you see his second interception? Or I don't know if it was the one. Yeah, it was his second interception, like to end the game, the pick six, the second one.
No.
You gotta see it, dude. It's just. I mean, you already know what it looks like. He's falling backwards. He's like running away backwards and just throws it like aimlessly into the middle of, you know, six players. Three of them are 49ers and three of them are Bucks. It's just peak Jameis Winston. And you're right, like, and it's not just the fantasy people. I mean, you know, even like Greg Rosenthal was like, oh, I'm excited for this Bucks offense, you know, Jameis Winston. And I was like, oh my God. And we saw for now that first week what he looks like. All right, so I have one player in my. Actually, wait, you moved him off your worried. Oh, here we go. Great.
Maybe yeah. Oh, 'cause you're gonna... I meant to put him in the not worried section.
Ah, I gotcha. Okay, so not worried. I'll go first again, real quick. Zach Ertz. So I've seen him. I've lived through this Zach Ertz era, and there's a reason I drafted him high, because I know what he's capable of. He goes, just like yesterday, a full half getting one target. And then for some reason, something switches and they go, oh, so let's give him 10 in the second half. I think they were just in a different mode in the second half where they had to go desperation, throwing those balls at Deshaun Jackson, trying to get chunk plays. Ertz can obviously get those, but I think when they are in more control of the game, they'll be able to get those 10-yard plays, 12-yard plays to the tight end down the middle where Zach Ertz is good. So I am not worried about Zach Ertz.
Yeah, neither am I. I think he uncharacteristically had some drops that, could have made his day look a little bit better. But yeah, I think that he'll be fine. This is kind of what he was, to your point, last year. He would have kind of like a low floor game and then, come back with a couple touchdowns and be the stud that he is. Not worried at all about Ertz. Another guy I'm not worried about, one of our favorite players, Stephon Diggs. I mean, I didn't realize this because until after the game, and it was harped on over and over again, the Vikings only threw the ball 10 times.
I know.
And only had 7 completions. It's like, holy moly. And luckily, Thielen got a touchdown for my DraftKings and didn't pay off. But, Diggs, a quiet day because there wasn't anything to go around. You don't think that this, will continue. I mean, I know that's what the identity they want to have, but they'll be in more competitive games. I don't know what it says about the Falcons and their defense, but, I think there are better days ahead for Stephon Diggs, a talented player, and game script will not. They throw it 10 times.
Yeah, I would be curious what that game was like to watch, considering when you're looking at the stats, you're like, how many quarters did they play?
Yeah.
So Dalvin Cook had 21 carries, which is great. But does that mean they only had, 40 plays on offense? Did they really take that much time off the clock? Were the Falcons taking a lot of time off the clock doing nothing? It'd be just interesting to kind of watch that game. Obviously, none of us did watch it aside from highlights that came and went. But yeah, I agree. Kirk Cousins, final stats, I think it was 8 for 10. And yeah, it's like, obviously, the receivers and Rudolph and all those players aren't going to get their stats with that kind of game plan. Nick Chubb, he was a fantasy darling for a lot of people this year. He's my keeper in our league, and that first drive went really well, and all I saw was, Ike Harrison or whatever the hell, Hilliard, scores a touchdown at the goal line, and I'm like, oh, here we go. And I'm like, I already know how today's going to go, because he gets his touchdown vultured after Chubb does the work on that drive. But he had a pretty solid game fantasy-wise, and that's when he only got, 3 carries, I think, in the second half total because of, again, game script, and they needed to make a comeback quick. So they abandoned the run, and obviously not a ton of dump-offs for him. It's kind of like, to be honest, kind of him and Devontae Freeman are in that same kind of category. So I'm not worried about Chubb. Even if the O-line is an issue for the Browns, I still think Chubb's going to get enough volume where he's going to get his points, get touchdowns, get his yards.
No, yeah, I'm not worried about Chubb. I think they'll figure it out. They'll get him in more, more high upside situations. I don't think he'll always, get his – I think he's made to be at the goal line, right? So, I don't think that'll be a recurring theme. I think it was just kind of how the game script went for Chubb. Not worried about him. Another guy who I think got game scripted out of his mind, but I think was positive in what I saw from him was James Conner. I think there was there was some chatter in kind of the early days of the fantasy season that, is he going to be challenged for touches? Is he even that good, or is it a factor of, more the O-line and anyone can be good? I think I was happy with what I saw. Maybe the production wasn't there, and obviously the game script wasn't there because they were going like 5 wide for most of the third and fourth quarter. But I think he looked good. I think he'll find more opportunities. I don't think they'll play the Patriots in Foxborough every week, and I think James Conner will be fine.
Watching that game, man, the Steelers did some really weird plays. They would do James Conner and Jalen Samuels both in the backfield, and they would do like weird misdirection plays and ultimately hand it off to Jalen Samuels. I was like, what's happening? Like, what are you guys doing? Really weird plays. James Conner did look good on the plays he did get the ball, but you're right. They just totally abandoned it in the second quarter and then on. Devonta Freeman again. So didn't watch the game. All I saw is he had 8 or 10 carries for 19 yards, I believe, or 30, you know, whatever. But he also had a fumble. And then once that fumble come, I guess Ito Smith had only three less carries than Devontae Freeman. I don't know if they, for some reason, don't trust Devontae in that passing role back, to get those, you know, dump offs or whatever. But the Falcons are just a weird mess on offense for right now. Next week they play Sunday night against the Eagles. It'll be a matchup of, you know, is someone actually good or is someone actually bad, and hopefully Freeman can kind of rebound. He's healthy. I think he will rebound. They play indoors every game. They just need to keep this game close for him to get his volume that he needs.
Yeah, not worried about Freeman. You know, Matt Ryan needs also to dial back the turnovers here and make some smart plays. And I think getting Devonta Freeman is a big part of that. Now I got to talk about my boys from the Rams game, Gurley and Cooks. Gurley obviously salvages his day in the second half of the game, kind of killing out the clock while the Panthers, you know, mounting their comeback. And obviously he got abso-vulture two times. So I just don't think that happens. I think, you know, it was more of a game script. Gurley had some hard runs in that first half. They subbed him out, and then they made a big play in the passing game, a couple good runs. And then he got Cooks. I think, you know, obviously Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods are the safety blankets, but Goff had Cooks a couple times, and Cooks actually had a couple big plays called back due to penalties. So I think he's going to be, you know, continue to be involved, and I'm not worried about both these guys moving forward. I was encouraged by what I saw with Gurley, especially in the second half. You know, he didn't get the touchdowns, but had over 100 yards in the rushing and passing game, and so I think that was positive signs for both my Rams guys.
Cooper Kupp looked pretty good too, so I think.
Well, he got targeted like four times on the first drive, and then he kind of disappeared a little bit in the second half. But I think that's because the Panthers adjusted to Kupp, and then that left Woods open all the time. So.
Yeah, Jared Goff stinks. All right, so Aaron Rodgers and Ben Roethlisberger.
The $110 million man.
Both of these guys, same situation. I mean, Rodgers went up. I mean, to be fair, Patriots have a really good defense this year, and they're saying that's one of the best ones they've ever had. So Rodgers and Roethlisberger, not that anyone is worried about Rodgers, but I think they expected maybe a little bit different because it's this new offense. Are they even getting along? The audibles, all that, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, they went up against this great defense in the Bears. There was definitely more opportunities for more points. Can Rodgers be that guy that he's supposed to be? Putting up only 10 points in the first game of the year is a little bit worrisome, but I think Rodgers is Rodgers, and he's going to be just as good as he can be. And hopefully this offense picks up, you know, way more than where Mike McCarthy was. And I think they'll get some steam, especially as the season goes on. They get used to it, each other. Roethlisberger, same kind of thing, although if I was to be worried about one of them, it would be Roethlisberger. I mean, that game was just dreadful on all levels. He, for some reason, and even Ashley pointed this out, Dante Moncrief, for some reason, got about 40 targets.
Oh,
I don't know what.
Gosh.
I don't know what was going on there. I get you don't want to force feed someone if they're covered, but literally throwing it to Dante Moncrief every single drive when you could have had. There was one play where Juju was wide open and would have had at least like a 15 to 20 yard gain. But he's also looking chubbier than ever. There's a funny meme going around on his face where he looks like a bowling ball.
He is looking chubby.
But I'm not worried about him. First game jitters, just like the ship. But if I was to be worried about one of them, it would be Big Ben.
Yeah, I want to see him play someone not the Patriots. The Patriots always kind of seem to have his number.
Yeah.
And to your point, they're just being too cute at sometimes. Just, you know, just be a little bit more vanilla and boring and get the offense going, and then you can throw in some
especially
cute plays.
But Dante, like, come on.
Yeah. It was just very frustrating to watch, especially with the news that, you know, they're getting AB. So it was just like, oh, great. So they're destroying the Steelers and the rich are getting richer. This is great. But I think Big Ben will be fine. I think just stop throwing it to Moncrief. After he drops it like three times and was like, all right, let's go back to this well. Oh, right off his hands. Yep. Great. Thanks. My last one is a Patriots, though. Owned him in a couple leagues. Josh Gordon. I'm not worried about him in that I think how he was utilized by the Patriots, granted the score line was a little bit interesting. AB coming, I think, will only help him. I think they're just going to be so stacked with weapons at every facet of the game that he's going to find himself in single coverage. I think he's just a monster physically. I think, he'll be a huge volume guys, maybe Edelman, but the opportunities that he finds himself in and his run after the catchability, I think he'll be just fine, even with one that I wanted to get maybe your perspective that we throw a little curveball in here, Will. Sony Michel.
Oh.
Game where they're up by so much that Rex Burkhead would be the one running down the clock. You think your bruiser, Sony Michel, in between the tackles, you just run that clock out, but I think he only had, what, like 9 or 10 touches overall, and they were all kind of in the first half. I was just extremely confused.
It's funny because Ashley, again, like, so she lost in both leagues that were in, which is fine. She went up against the beast that is Jose. She, all day, she was like, oh, should I put in James White or Philip Lindsay? And, of course, I said, oh, he's probably Philip Lindsay. She's like, I don't know. I think I'm going to do James White. And I'm like, okay, classic. Of course she would. And, of course, he was... James White was awesome, dominant. Mm-hmm. And it's like they just trusted James White way more than both. First of all, he seemed like the number one running back. Sony Michel did get his like early on in the game. I know Michel has kind of been hurt on and off the offseason, so maybe it was just, you know, we're up 20 points. Let's just put in Burkhead just to wear the other team down and not really try to get too many people hurt, even though Tom Brady was in the entire game, which was shocking. I don't know. I think James White is the running back to own in those Patriots. But this happens every year with the Patriots. Next week, Sony Michel will get 250 yards and 4 touchdowns, and then they'll cut him in 2 weeks. Like, we don't know what they're doing. That's why that Patriots running back situation is always kind of scary. And we've talked about that before. We talked about that during the draft.
You knew there would be opportunity, but you knew there was risk in the situation. All right, Will. Crunch time. Survivor or the ship? What do we want to do?
I'm going to go 10 seconds on Survivor. Me and you both won. You picked the Eagles. I picked the Ravens. Shout out to the 20 people that joined this Survivor group again. Some sort of gift card going to come your way to the winner. People who lost, I mean, 2 people picked the Browns. Good for you. Bears and the Lions. Person who picked the Bears, I don't know who you are, but that's the quickest exit I've ever seen in a Survivor pool. Considering it was the Thursday night game of the first week of the season, you didn't even make it to Sunday. So congrats on that. Not sure who I'm going to pick yet, but we will detail those later. Let's just move on to the ship.
There are definitely some spicy matchups this week for opportunities.
Oh, yeah. We gotten some ridicule from Greg, one Raft Pool participant. Jeff listed him last in the ship or in the Raft Pool power rankings, ends up being first in points scored. What have you to say for yourself, Jeff?
Nothing. Still don't like his team.
Oh, wow. Wow, you had a lot of good players.
I was
T.Y. Hilton came up big.
I think we both slashed Sam's team, and Sam scored 143 points. So I mean, I'm not saying that Lamar Jackson is going to do that every week, you know. And he does have Saquon, which will be a beast. And I think T.Y. I mean, T.Y. was kind of maybe not overshadowed, but I mean, he had a huge game. Obviously, he left Keenan Allen, the Catwalker. You know, it's just, I think it hinges on Lamar Jackson week over week. I mean, he put up a huge point total. You know, maybe his team doesn't deserve the last place disrespect that I gave it, but still not a huge fan relative to the other top dog teams.
I mean, again, it was the same thing. It was the first week is the hardest to kind of know what's going on. I'm not worried about it. I mean, I am. I hate fantasy, but it's happening. We'll find out after this week, really, who's good, who's not good, whether it's fantasy, whether it's real life, whatever. My team, you know, just had some first week jitters. They didn't know what they were going to do. A lot of timeshares. Damian Williams, Duke Johnson. Now I know DeSean Jackson is going to be a beast, at least we think. So he might have just snuck his way into the starting lineup, Jeff.
Ooh, a little spicy.
Yeah, we don't know yet. I mean, especially a Sunday night, or, you know, with all the crowds watching. How do you feel about your team right now after 1 week in the ship?
You know, there's been some positive signs. There's been some rocky signs. Overall, happy to get, you know, the win in week one. I think the tight end position every year is going to be a question mark for this team. Eric Ebron actually had a touchdown if he could hold on to the ball.
Yeah.
But I went to the waiver wire, and you know who caught my eye? Well,
Zamoa. Oh, no.
He's not on there. Darren Waller's not on there. That was the first person I was like, Darren Waller. Here we go. There's more options. Nope. People are holding two, three tight. I was like, Hockenson. Maybe he'll be on there. Nope. He's not on there. People are stashing tight ends in this league, which is fine. You know, people can do whatever they want. I think I hit on it earlier. Miles Sanders, I was encouraged by his performance. You had some worry there, obviously, just due to the timeshare. I think Darius Geis, we'll see what happens there. The other players, you know, there's room for improvement. There's room for improvement, and I'm going up against Dave, the reigning, you know, defending his title. But luckily, I guess for me, Tyreek Hill is out and on his team, so it'll be interesting to see how his lineup looks going into this week. Well,
The last thing I'll say about our league is that Tom Brady was on the wire, and then Brandon Hatch scooped him up literally that night that Antonio Brown confirmed it to be on the Patriots, and he put up a nice 25 points against you. Almost made it to beat you, but congrats on your win in week one. I'm looking at you from the bottom. Hopefully I can make a nice comeback, but we'll see. It's gonna be tough, but I have a little bit of faith considering last year went pretty nice for me as well. Jeff, the hard out is here. We did it. You did it. You just sipping on that coffee, getting ready to live, Mom. I, by the way, just to let you know, I had Taco Bell the other night at a new Taco Bell that I never went to before, and that's a bold move. I think you need to kind of ease your way into a new Taco Bell before kind of splurging. Got to get used to it. I think of it like the common cold. You need to get it a little bit first before you kind of dive right in, and then you'll become immune. So rough times were that, but hey, big week coming ahead, Jeff. Try to do another one if we can, because we got to set up some stuff. If not, we will talk to you next week. Jeff, happy fantasy, and go watch some TV and stuff. Peace.
Have fun at Scarewinds. Late.